Speaking of things to get done, in this new year, in this new congressional session, the farm bill still remains as one of the nation's top legislative priorities, but it's languished in Congress's inbox. The Senate begins this new season. It's a relief at last to be able to say there's glimmers of hope that Congress is finally reaching the point where we could complete work on a farm bill. You know, we passed this farm bill twice here in the Senate. And there I compliment chair of the Agriculture Committee, Senator Stabenow. She brought together Democrats and Republicans, many of us who had served at one time or another as either chair or ranking member or both on that committee, and said, why don't we just do it the old-fashioned way? Instead of just talking about it a lot, why don't we just sit down and actually write it, pass, and bring something to the floor that could pass? They did, and it passed twice. And while it languished over in the House for some period of time, and they're finally going forward with it. And Chairwoman Stabenow and Chairman Lucas from the House have worked throughout the holiday break, and I know my own staff, Adrian Wojciechowski, and others have worked very hard with them to produce a bipartisan, comprehensive bill to address the needs of farmers and families, communities, and taxpayers. You know, a farm bill is a dynamic element of our agriculture economy, actually of our overall national economy. A farm bill touches every family in ways large and small. It's now been more than 460 days since the last farm bill expired, well over a year ago. Since then, American farmers, though, have to farm every single day. They can't wait. They've had to make long-term planting decisions. They've struggled with that, and more than 20 programs, such as those affecting organic certification cost sharing, or beginning farmers, or relief from livestock disasters, or renewable energy, or rural small businesses, they've all been stranded without funding. Rural small businesses is a major part, I'd say, the presiding officer of her state and my state. But then every state has some rural area in it. That's extremely important. The organic certification cost sharing, how important that is. Organic farming is the fastest growing area of agriculture in the country. But the farm bill limbo is part of a string of artificial made by Congress dilemmas. This limbo not only hurts farmers, but their communities and our economy. It hampers efforts to help those who are struggling the most in our community with food security for their families, but also holds us back from greater energy security. Now, last month, the Republican leadership of the House of Representatives proposed a short farm bill extension. Well, short extensions are nothing new here on Capitol Hill. They could go by the term most of us know, that is kicking the can down the road. They patch things over from one crisis to the next. But just as a temporary extension to fund government offers neither certainty nor meaningful change, a short extension of the farm bill would not provide farmers the certainty they need to plan or funding for stranded programs. Farming is a business. And if you're going to plant, if you're going to harvest, you're making plans for months in advance, even years in advance, and you can't have the Congress say, sorry, we'll extend it for a couple weeks, bye-bye, we're going home on recess. If you saddle farmers with this needless uncertainty, it makes what's already a difficult life even more difficult. Even worse, the proposed House extension would prolong direct payment subsidies for another year. And because they won't do their work over there, the Republican leadership hasn't done their work, they senselessly cost taxpayers untold millions of dollars. Now, I wish we could leave it to Chairman Lucas, who has been very responsible in this, and Chairwoman Stabenow here. Let us move forward with their bills. Because at this point, the only acceptable path forward is to deliver a full 5-year comprehensive farm bill by the end of January that not only avoid the so-called dairy cliff, but help families put food on the table, improve conservation efforts, it'll support regional farming, and it'll put an end to wasteful subsidies. It's a win-win for the taxpayers and voters of this country. Now, I know I've looked at these. The farm bill marks the seventh time that I've served as a member of a farm bill conference committee on a five-year farm bill. I know how difficult it is to bring a complex five-year bill to the floor and ultimately to final passage after a conference. I don't in any way diminish the difficulty in that. I know I've been there, I've done that. But while there have been many significant changes in agriculture policy since the 1981 Farm Bill, which I had the privilege to write, one thing has remained the same. No Farm Bill is easy, and no Farm Bill is perfect. But to finalize a Farm Bill and to make it better than the situation today, the Senate and the House have to work together to reach a bipartisan agreement. It means whether you're a Republican or a Democrat, forget the symbolism, start dealing with substance. Stop rhetoric, go to reality. The conference committee is making steady progress. Chairwoman Stabenow, a Democrat, Chairman Lucas, a Republican, deserve credit and our appreciation for working closely together to bridge the wide differences between our two bills. And the cuts includes will not go unnoticed, as we've already seen spending reductions from the sequester, followed by the end of the Recovery Act nutrition benefits. You know, sometimes we can talk here on the floor. We're all going to collect our paycheck every month. But we sometimes forget these cuts and policy changes affect real people in real ways. So we have to continue to do the best we can. Provide the broad divides that separate many provisions in the bill. Now, speaking as a Vermonter, I would note that every farm bill is important to Vermont, just as every farm bill is also important to every state represented in this body. Farm bills make real difference in our quality of life. And the fact that Congress every 5 years or so would renew and pass a farm bill was once something that Americans could take for granted. In my time here in the Senate, this is the first time we haven't been able to. The delays have been unfortunate, and they've been needless. But I'm increasingly hopeful this recent dark chapter is coming to a close. Farmers and families around the nation are looking to us to pass forward-looking, fiscally responsible, regional sensitive food and farm policy. And the two have to be together, both the food and the farm policy. Our farmers have to be able to plan. But families have to know when their children go to school, they're going to be fed. Because everybody, every teacher will tell you, hungry child doesn't learn. And if a child doesn't learn, what are we doing for the next generation? That's our responsibility here. So now is the time, without further delay, to enact a farm bill that will strengthen the nation and support the economy. I know we're up to this challenge. We've done it twice already here in this body, forging bipartisan coalitions. Now I'm hoping the other body, notwithstanding some of the Republicans who tried to block it, will come forward and speak not just for a small part of one political party, but speak for all Americans.